If you want the God kind of results, you got to do it God's kind of way. This is just that simple. You cannot cherry pick the part of the word, or you cannot cherry pick the part of the assignment and still want the good kind of results.
Ready to work out. Before you start, heavy or not, you want to go ahead and use your superpower to give you that strength and energy to make it through your workout. Get you some.
There we go. All right, I just had to make sure we was live. Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the CVMK Show, because it is what it is. I'm your host, Mr. CVMK 33, and so is Cody Vernon Marshall Kelly. For them that know, you know. Look, we have an amazing episode today. I promise you, at least once a week, I'm going to go live just for you. I got a whole bunch of episodes. If you go to my YouTube page, matter of fact, why aren't you subscribed? That's the question right now. I'm going to throw it in the chat. Subscribe today on YouTube, CVMK. We got some more platforms coming out. Stay tuned. I'm working on a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But if you want to keep seeing amazing content like we have on today with amazing leaders, I need you to do a couple things. Follow your boy on the gram. It is what it is underscore show and CVMK underscore global. Look, thank you for getting us over the 71,000 mark. This quarter's goal is to get to 80,000. We want to get to 80,000 CVMK. We want to get to 1,000 on It Is What It Is. We want to get to over 10 on CVMK 33. We are at 12,000 YouTube. Thank you. I told you that we were going to get to 10, but we are over 12,000 on YouTube. We want to get past 12,000 mark. We want to end March at 20,000, and I believe you can make it happen. You know why? Because all you got to do is hit the subscribe button. It's free. So if you want to keep seeing amazing stuff, do that. We have an amazing episode with an amazing person, Prophet Lonnie Davis. We're going to get into the realities, because the realities be speaking to us, don't it? The realities of prophecy after this quick break. Prophet Davis, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself, man of God?
Man, I am well. I feel good. The weather is not freezing here in Chicago, and that's always a positive thing. So,
yes, you know, it is. Yes, it is. Most definitely.
But I appreciate you being on here. Look, before we begin, you know, I told you before the show started, I dig what you do. I see a lot of people do stuff. I don't dig everything, because everything sometimes look like they just random out here. But you take the time to not just hear from the Lord, but invest in your craft. The microphone you have, yes. The backdrop, the video. Yes. If you're going to do God's work, throw your whole weight behind it. That's all I'm saying. So first of all, shout out to you. Before we begin, man, where can the people support you and connect with you?
Well, again, thank you for the space and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Prophet Lonnie Davis of the Faith and God Anointed Ministries here in the beautiful city of Chicago. Is where we are located. You can follow me on all the social media platforms, such as YouTube under Lonnie Davis. You can go to IG Lonnie underscore Davis. You can follow me on Clubhouse. You can follow me on Twitch. And it's not Twitter no more. It's X. And you can follow me on Facebook. Now, the correct spelling for my name is right there on the screen. L-O-N-N-E-Y. I want you to know it's L-O-N-N-E-Y. Because it's not Looney Davis. Yeah, Brother Cody, so many people across the nation call me Looney, and it causes aggravation. And when my mom hears somebody calling her son Looney, it goes into a whole nother thing. So
I get it.
Yeah, but thanks a lot for that. I'm glad to be here, man, to God.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Look, I want to get into it. When I first met you or first heard about you, you know, you were going strictly by the title Prophet Davis, right? That's kind of how I came into familiarity with you and your ministry. And, you know, prophecy is this weird, it's not even a nuance because it's been around for ages. It's just one of these things that I feel like it's ungoverned and borderline witchcraft and some things. You know, I'm just watching a YouTube video. I think I'm watching Jake's because I watch TD like every day. I'm watching the GOAT himself And, you know, the YouTube commercials, and it's like, do you want a reading from California psychics? You know, like, just the most random thing.
Right.
But because there is no governance and there's nobody telling you which is which, somebody might confuse that for this.
Right.
So, first off, is prophecy real?
Yes, sir. It most definitely is. I want to say this to you and your audience. Anything without a covering, it is useless. What I mean by that is, if you have a house and don't have a roof, it's really going to be ruined by inclement weather. You need a covering. When you mentioned it's not governed, that's because a lot of people, they are doing things and they have not been properly released from who they should be submitted under. That's why you have a lot of people that have gone rogue. They fascinated by what comes along with the titles that they may say they have and hold. But that's why you are seeing a lot of these things, because a lot of people decided that they don't want to wait. They want to do their own thing. And they want to make a platform and a title for themselves. But it's definitely the prophetic. It is real.
So, okay, so that's a good start. You know, I think the biggest pushback is trying to understand when it's coming from a sincere place and not a performative place. I think what's happening is that the gifts of the Spirit are utterly real, but the placement of the orator is subject, right? The Spirit is subject to the prophet, right? Is it not?
I understand what you're saying. Yes, sir.
How do we know when this is divine, God-breathed word? Like, how do we know, like, man, you just don't want my money. You actually care about who I am. Like, how do we know that this is from the Lord?
Well, for the believer, it is discernment. Not just so much of the believer, but it's discernment. You know, there's an old saying that what comes from the heart reaches the heart. I believe the easiest ways to deceive somebody is what we see. I think that if we can tap into the spiritual realm, because the prophetic is spiritual. And if you are carnal, you're not going to be able to discern and understand the things that which are spiritual. But if you are in a position where, again, you're not spiritually in tune to God, you will miss God because you see some kind of representation of God. And that's what happens. See, Satan is a master strategist. And he can tap back into what he once was. What I mean by that, he was an angel, right? He got kicked out. He had access to heaven. So he know what to do, what to say, how to say, to appear like he's still on the good side. But actually, he's not. So as long as people can say it well, look the part, dress the part, which was the eye can see, the battle is almost already won right then and there. So you got to hear God. You got to hear God to see if this is God or not.
I agree. I think you do have to hear from God. I think from the pew, right? Like, let's say you're in service and you're judging it from the pew. Sometimes you feel that it becomes politicized. You know, like, I feel that, is it God, is it not? And then the second thing is, what is it attached to? When a politician speaks to any group, they pander to the audience. All of a sudden, whatever stance they have becomes softened or heightened depending on the courage of the crowd. Case in point, Nikki Haley on The Breakfast Club. You know, mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's a bit more, you know, yeah, that was wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. Right, but right. I wonder, in this presentation, does it ever dawn on the prophet that every soul that is there is on the edge, and the sincerity of your delivery, the sincerity of your ministry is everything, because that person might not believe in tomorrow. And sometimes I feel like there's a laziness towards it that gets mistaken for anointing, right? Mm-hmm. So before we get into manipulation, mm-hmm. as being used of the Lord, how do you prep for this to be used as an oracle of God?
Well, that's good. I use every stage, every opportunity as a new opportunity. Because sometimes you can do something for so long, my brother and my sisters, let me say it this way. You can become complacent and then you'll get comfortable in what you do by your gift and your talent. But you really have not leaned in to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Okay. And there's times where, well, let me say it this way. You can hear the same message, sermon. You can preach the same message, the same sermon to a different audience, and a different audience that have levels of expectations. God will give that man of God, give that woman of God what they need. And it won't be a bunch of emotionalism. It won't be a bunch of, you know, because we quick to say something is anointed if it have that certain sound, you know. So I look at it like this. Every opportunity I get ready to preach in, or every platform, a stage, not just or just preach or prophesy, whatever, I look at it, it's my first time. God, take the wheel. Because me, I've been preaching and teaching and prophesying for a long time. This is how I know when I'm in my flesh. This is my absolutely truth. When I'm not scared and when I'm not nervous, that means I'm in my flesh. But when I'm scared and when I'm nervous, that means I have to say, God, you got to take the wheel. Because if you don't, I don't want to misrepresent you, and I don't want to misrepresent the gift and the title that I'm coming in.
No, I like it. I think, as you mentioned, it's a matter of humility. Yes. It should never feel like, you know, like, hey, I'm headlining, you know, right, this venue. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is another mm-hmm. thing of Hamilton. It should always be. So my pastor says this, and I will adopt it and not take it. He says, every time I preach, I am on trial before God. Yes. And if I mess up, God will hold me accountable
for that's
the words
good.
That come out of my mouth. Right. So
that's good.
I think that's a good way to put it in check. But here's where it gets gloomy. Look, I understand. I believe, and I said this, I believe in offerings. I believe in tithe. I do. I believe that the Bible is absolutely right.
Right.
But what I do not necessarily mm-hmm. believe mm-hmm. is that my blessing is attached to a number, to a monetary call out, that yes. my prophecy is only unlocked with the amount of USD that I sacrifice, right? Because they never asked me for Bitcoin. They never asked me for Dogecoin. They never asked me for any of the cryptocurrencies. They only asked me for USD. So it can't just be money, because that's an insult to, you know, investors. You know, so mm-hmm. I wonder, and I think this is why people sit, because I think people get with the preacher, the man of God, the woman of God, until that point. Because it's almost like we expect you to exact something from us, right? Why can't the anointing be enough?
Very good question. Now, we was talking previously about this, and I think it's necessary for me to mention it. The prophetic, when you read the scripture, there was certain gifts that came along for you to hear from God through the man of God. Okay. The manifestation of you receiving something because a man of God or a woman of God spoke to you, that's based upon what God wants to do. First of all, consider this. If I got to give you $100 in order for me to receive a job or something, that's not God. Let me just, you know, can we keep it a buck? Let's not be churchy. Okay. That's not God. You ain't got to buy God. If God going to do for you, it's not about your righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But if you live right for God, he will give you what you need. We serve an all-knowing God, all-wise God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I think what's happening is when you put a price tag on prophecy. Now, this is what I do when I do prophesy. When that gift come on me strong, I tell the people of the Lord, if you notice this, I didn't prophesy to you after I got your seed. Because if God ain't telling me to say it, I ain't saying it, because I'm not going to compromise my convictions for your coins. Because at the end of the day, God gonna hold me accountable for the lie that I told. And God's gonna hold me accountable for misleading his people down a path that it never should have been. I just believe that your manifestation of something will not take place based upon a dollar amount. Because if it's that case, if you got all the money, you can pay for everything.
It's true.
Or if you in a desperate situation, if you don't have the money, you mean God going to turn the other way and say, well, you didn't get a $20, so you're going to tough it out a little more while. That's not God. That's absolutely not God.
You got to wait another year. You didn't get that $20, man. Wouldn't that be bogus? That'd be
man, bad. That'd be bad.
Like, hey, look, I knew you had that $20 on you, dog. The prophecies and how offering should be raised, how it should be not raised, how we got to get past. Look, let's meet budget. Let's do it, though, in a godly way without embarrassment. After a quick word from our sponsor. Cool.
There's a hero in all of us waiting to be unleashed. All it takes is just that one last push. Activate the hero within with CBMK Global Supplements. All natural, steroid-free, designed to enhance performance, build muscle, and increase energy. You are unstoppable. You can do this. Become your own hero at www.cbmkglobal.store.
Yo.
Hey, hey.
www.cbmkglobal.store. Look what I got with me, y'all. I had to bring it on my bag just to let you know. Of course, I own the company, but not just owner, I'm a client. No, hey, look. You know how I get through a busy day? I'm tired. I go to work, but it's like you. I work, I grind, I'm married. But I have the best pre-work on the world. So when I'm feeling tired, one scoop of this, water, bam, off to it. And I'm able to do my podcast because I have the energy to do it. When it comes to your pre-workouts, your BCAAs, your protein, there's only one source. www.cvmkglobal.store. You're too close to spring. The weather's getting warmer and it's not going away. And you're going to be mad at yourself come July. www.cvmkglobal.store. Matter of fact, I'm happy out. Use code CVMK24. I'm gonna throw it in the chat for 24% off. www.cvmkglobal.store. Okay. Time for the offering, right? So, you know, offerings are real. Offering is a very sacred point of service. It's also a very, to me, misunderstood and at a lot of times misappropriated point, because we have goals and we have budgets. Look, one of the things, and this is for the believers out there, tithing is real. If you want to say that it's not monetary and that they only did it every, you know, third year, well, then you have to save up all of your income for 3 years and then make an exact 10% withdrawal of that, you know, gross, not net, right? So, and either way you slice it, whether you do it biweekly, monthly, semi-annually, tithing is absolutely real. You cannot get away from it. Jesus himself paid tithes. Offering is real. First fruit is real. You can't get away from that because Jesus is the first fruit. He's the second man, Adam. It would be a theological error to say that you have no responsibility, particularly from a monetary standpoint. But what it is not an avenue that should ever be tampered with. My grandfather told a story when he was a kid. He said, Cody, out of all the sins you could do, in church, there are certain cardinal sins, and one of them is never steal the money, because the money belongs to God. And then he said, if I ever found out a deacon stole any of this money, they would see me first. Right. That was Bishop Marshall.
That was Bishop Marshall.
Right. That was a different guy. Right. So I think what's happening now, because we do have goals, we have financial obligations, we have to raise money, speakers costs, their hotels costs, their entourage costs, right? And we're forced to take something so sacred, and it is sacred. The more you study, you realize, man, this is not a plaything. And we throw a little bit of carnality behind it, and it becomes more like an auction house instead of a time of worship. Where offering really is a time of worship. How should the offering be administered? Because like I said, I'm for it, but I'm for the sanctity of the giving. How should it be administered?
Great question. I believe it should be just like you said. It should be sacred. It should be intimate. When we move away from worship with the melody and the praise team and the singers, we don't stop our worship when it comes down to giving. Giving is revealing part of your heart to God in honesty. I teach when I get ready to transition from the praise and worship team to the give, get ready to raise the offering. I tell the people of the Lord, we're not stopping our worship. What we're going to do is extend our worship. We're showing God, you're not only Lord of my life, but you're Lord of my finances. It's yours anyway. True. You're just giving me an opportunity to prove my stewardship and my obedience to what belongs to you, what you gave me power to get. You give us power to get wealth. You give us power to become successful in life so that we can advance his kingdom agenda. And that comes by way of marketplace strategies. That comes by way of our hands, our own witty ideas. It's his anyway. So you might as well give it to him. And furthermore, God is very much concerned about my health and my wealth. What good is you having a whole lot of money, but you aren't healthy? Or vice versa. What good is you having health, strength, and strong, like much like you are? I'm out of shape. But then you don't have wealth, so you can't enjoy it. True. So when we give, it ought to be not, you know, you being strong-armed to give. Or you feel embarrassed because you don't have. The Bible declares and teaches us this truth, that God bless who? A cheerful giver. So that's my whole thing. When I give it to give tithe and offering, it's between me and God. Although somebody may see the amount when they go into the back rooms, I want to make sure my funds help meeting the budget.
Right.
That's my look on giving.
You know, I share the same look. You know what I do not like? And I'll call it out here.
Yeah.
I don't like when people get hurt because they don't have. You know, I know what it's like to not have, contrary to popular belief. I don't like people feeling minimized or lessened or less sir because they can't do a certain thing, particularly in a financial capacity. I do not like things being promoted. Like I said, if and when the Lord blesses me and I give whatever amount, I don't want it to be publicized because that's between me and God, right? I don't want, because I know what it's like to be on the other side of that and say, yes, man, you know, so I'm not worth it. You know, like I'm garbage, you know, I think what happens is when we call these lines, and this is why I think the Lord himself, and I mean, he had to speak to me like Moses in a flaming, fiery bush inside of a church that does not grow bushes, because that's the only way. That's the only way I do it.
Yes.
When you do it, if you don't have it, what does that person feel like?
Yes.
I can't be, if I got to wait for you to take the $1,000 line down to 10, is not my need as important? It should be, if not more, yeah, because I couldn't stand
right
in the $1,000 section.
I agree.
I hate it with a passion, and I hate hearing it wheeled from us, because the reality is, if the cause is right and the spirit of the Lord is there, I'll give more than what you ask for.
Facts.
Right. But the cause is never usually right. And the spirit of God is definitely ain't in that. You know, right. And there's some people, like I said, I can name, but there's some people, I appreciate you, Pastor Hoosier. You're absolutely right. I share the same sentiment exactly. But there are just it's gotta go. Right?
Right.
It's gotta go.
Right.
Prophet Davis, if somebody comes, matter of fact, you preach, let's say you preach on a church and the senior pastor says, hey, man, you know, we're short. You know, I need you to raise a prophetic offering. But, you know, deep down inside, God has not commissioned you to do that. You will offend the spirit of the Lord. Will you say no to Arch Apostle whoever?
Yes, sir. I have done that. Perfect example. Someone was trying. I have a grace on me to expedite an offering. It's on me. Because that was the time when I didn't have it on. And I sat in that seat and I felt like I was trash because I didn't have. So someone asked me, Brother Cody, we getting ready to go on a missions trip. We need a little more, you know, money. We don't have it. We want you to come in, preach, prophesy. And oh, by the way, raise the offering. He said, would you do it for me? I said, no. The reason why I said no is because you didn't want me to help the souls of man. You was more concerned about your trip being funded. So you're going to use a ministry gift to get it done. What bothers me more than anything, you nailed it too. I teach this and I pray that this bless somebody. If you keep your name clean in the earth, when you have a request, people will respond to it because you have a clean name. True. I shouldn't have to lie to you in order for me to get something from it, because the same lie I told to you to get it, somebody gonna tell me a lie and I'm gonna lose it. So if you would just move with integrity and be consistent in that area, when you put something out there, it won't be bad for people. It won't be something reckless for people to respond to. And then furthermore, you can't keep asking people to give to you, because I'm gonna ask you myself, what you doing with the last $10 I gave you?
Yeah, I'm
gonna
get
up a job. Wasn't I here last Sunday? Wasn't I here last Bible class? Yeah. What are you doing with the money where you got to keep coming back asking the same thing? And then I look upside your head, you got lashes, you got a 27 piece on, you got a nice vehicle, you put your feet up when you shout and dance, you got red bottoms on. But then when I look around, we can't have toilet tissue in the bathroom.
Right.
You got people around here that need it, and they giving not out of only their need, they giving because they don't want to feel bad that they didn't have the large amount. Yes, no. I've been there, Brother Cody.
Yeah, it's sad. It's and I think the other thing is if we tolerate it because we love God and we come from a generation that, you know, you didn't outwardly protest and act a fool if you disagreed with something. If it got that bad, you would put your church finger up and walk out, right? You did no such obtrusive measure of whatever.
Right, right.
But this new generation that was not raised in church, and this right. is why I keep trying to tell them, is like, to the non-believer who's not familiar with this, you might create a situation that you don't want to have to deal with. Yes. Because they don't understand. Right. Why you keep asking? You right. know, like, right. and I think right. what we have to do is that if we don't properly teach it and the full sanctity of this and what to expect, and then to be honest with the people, and I'm gonna shift to honesty in a second.
Most definitely.
We're gonna create a disappointment that will turn people away from Jesus. I said this, and I'll stand on business when I say it. A lapse of morality, to me, will not turn away somebody from the faith. A broken promise of God will turn away somebody quicker, because that is faith to them.
That's right. Good. That's good.
And I think people realize preachers aren't perfect. So it's like, thank God we've gotten to a point that I don't have to put on wings and fly. However, it is the broken promises that have just as much weight. So let's shift. We're talking about truth. Let's go here. Truth. Hey, can prophets be pastors?
Yes. I struggle with that myself. You know, we was talking before. We can just let the audience come in on it. Someone told me that most prophets don't pastor. And if they do pastor, they don't have success. The devil is I'm churchy. So the devil is a liar.
Right.
Jesus, the greatest prophet that walked the earth. Jesus not only was the greatest prophet that walked the earth, Jesus exemplified a good shepherd.
Yeah.
Shepherd is a pastor.
Yeah.
He didn't have a large congregation. One of them was a betrayer, of course. One was a cutter and a cusser. So Jesus had an audience of 12. And if you notice this about Jesus, the grace that he had on him was enough for him to handle where he didn't mess up his assignment. See, what happens is, Brother Cody, this is the truth. When you take on too much what you have not been graced to do, you're going to make a mess out of it. Never allow people to put you in a space where grace, never allow people to put you in a space where you shouldn't be, because God himself can use you in duplicity. Is that such the thing?
Yeah.
I mean, because Samuel wasn't fivefold, but he was threefold. He was preach, prophet, and judge.
And judge, right? And?
And he was the only officer being priest, prophet, and judge until the Messiah came that functioned as priest, prophet, and judge.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I got to go back, I don't know if it's a translation error, but he's referred to as king first. Facts. In like the latter years. And then Saul put David as the third. You know, so, no, he did. He was. He wasn't fivefold, but he was threefold.
He was threefold.
Let's tackle this question before we go on. Sure. As an expediter, should my personal financial status have any consideration on the giving of others? Yeah, that's interesting. So I always say that no, because it should only be percentage based, never hard number. So if I have $10 and the Lord only wants me to get 10%, I only give a dollar. Right. I think that regardless of where I sit in the socioeconomic stratosphere, I will never exact more than what the Spirit of the Lord allows, even if that offends the aim. And if they want to do that, then they get their reward. Right. And I think we both share that sentiment. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, you answered it. I mean, because think about it, because you gave 100 and I got 10, they have how you give your heart posture and your giving have greater weight on your amount. The Bible said that obedience is what better than sacrifice. So we was bring that up in Lonnie 3:16, you know, obedience trump any kind of sacrifice. So, yeah, no, sir.
I got one. We're going back to the order of the church. What is the order? I mean, like, and the reason why I ask, and I might cut to commercial break just to give some time to think about it.
Okay.
You know, the Church of God of Christ has an order.
Yes.
I agree with some of it. I disagree with some of it. You know, only that which is not found in the scripture, of course, never that which is found in the scripture. Mm-hmm. But the liturgical order, you know, titles and who fits, right? Like, you know, for a long time, we never had an official, and we still don't technically have an official title as prophet, yet we always believed in prophecies. We never had the official title as, well, not really until the days of GE, of apostle, right? And it was never an official. Only presiding bishop would be called the chief apostle, but technically it was never a category, right? It was like a de facto category. Yet now that is definitely prevalent, particularly outside of the denomination. Archbishop is not something that we ever have held yet outside, which I'm fine. It's not a if, it's not a us versus them. It's just a what should be. This is what I'm trying to get to. Let's cut to commercial break because I'm trying to figure out, you know, are you right, Reverend, Reverend, left, Reverend, Bishop? You know, I'm trying to figure this stuff out. This is confusing. After word from our sponsors.
I literally just tried the best pre-workout on the planet. With Superpower Pre-Workout, you have increased focus and a power boost every single time you work out. It's not only packed with 225 milligrams of caffeine, but it also has citrulline and creatine. It's insane how much energy and focus I had during my workouts. If you're ready to take your workouts to the next level, then ditch your current pre-workout and get the Superpower pre-workout to be your own hero.
I should have brought my bag, and I was looking for it during the break because I had the way on me in the bag. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna show this again, though. Y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
One scoop, water, shake up, go do your workout, come back, conquer the day, do it in the morning, do it after work. Superpower, I'm telling you, won't be disappointed. Or if you're not used to the pre-workouts, Warrior Thirst is for you. This comes in Tropical Sunrise. I think Warrior Thirst is like grape. So I got to check. Watermelon. Comes in watermelon. Yo, you will not be disappointed by the flavor nor the results. www.stephenkglobal.store. All right. So the order, the pulpit, the order of the pulpit, right? What is, you know, because elder in our sect is very specific, though it's not biblical, right? I believe women can be elders because the scripture is not a gender-based role. And, you know, we are flirting with it, but we haven't decided, right? What should be the order of the pulpit or the liturgical order?
Well, the New Testament
speaks
of the apostles, secondarily the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. The New Testament church should consist of fivefold in that order. And it is true that we do have, I mean, you speak truth and you allow me to speak truth.
Yeah.
I think that if we're moving outside of the Bible, we are not in biblically aligned and we won't see the whole fullness of God. What I mean by that, the Bible said that he gave some apostles.
Right.
Right. Now, I ain't go that far in school, but I know that some mean more than one.
Yeah.
Why some churches don't only have one apostle?
Yeah.
We want prophecy, but we don't acknowledge the prophets in the churches. So what we actually doing is we're moving into what's culture and it's moving us away from what's Bible. In order for us to see the fullness of God, we got. Let me ask you like this, Brother Cody. Well, let me say it this way. If you want to see God's, if you want the God kind of results, you got to do it God's kind of way. It's just that simple. You cannot cherry pick the part of the word, or you cannot cherry pick the part of the assignment and still want the good kind of results. Either you all in, help me hear Jesus, or you all out.
Right. I agree.
So I'm thinking to myself that we need to revisit some things, because the Bible clearly tells us we need the male nor female
in the eyes of Christ. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that if you drowning, you about to die in Lake Michigan or one of these places, and a female captain come along to pull you out of your bad situation, you gonna look up at her and say, "Hey, you a woman? Send me a man."
Right. You gonna die.
You gonna die. you're gonna be good and dead. Come on, man. I think we done so much. We accepted so much because we come from the generation that we had to accept it. Mama and them said, "Eat this meat." Now that we good and grown, mama, why you put me on that red meat? Now you can't get off of it because mama gave it to you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the liturgical order of how we should move in the body of Christ in the kingdom of God, we got to go back to what is written. The scripture says, how did Jesus leave the model and the example? The Bible said the scripture was for our learning.
Right, right.
And what's documented carries more weight than what's conversated. But we done flipped it around. We done made conversation more priority than what's documentation.
How come? You know, how come? Let's go there. You know, I got some questions off. Now let's open it up, Pandora's box as we're here. How come?
Let's roll.
Pastor, I got you. This is the first question. As expedited to my personal financial status, have any consideration on the giving of others? But then he said, referencing offerings outside of mandatory tithes. I think what he's trying to get to is what biblical justification do we have for giving, particularly in the New Testament? And I stand on this, and I don't know what you said. I said it's the tithe. It's the first fruit that you could only do per category once a year. And then that takes care of everything. You can't have second, third, fourth fruit. That's absolutely crazy. And then once that is done, you have no financial obligation. You know, these reports and all that, that's just, you know, organizational need. There's no spiritual tied to it. And I'm not saying God won't bless you if you don't, you support, you know, please support, please, because I don't want to get in trouble for saying that. But what I'm saying is,
you're going to have to have a meeting.
My God, they're going to be like, man, you made your report, brother. I mean, you going to be the first one that, I tell people all the time, I say, look, when I get to heaven, look, if there's any hesitation at the gate, I'm bringing out an Excel spreadsheet. I'm about to be like, look, I gave on this night to this preacher. I gave in the Memphis offering twice. What I'm saying is, God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. If the church make you broke, that ain't God. God will never make you broke, but he will break you to make you successful. And there's a difference between him breaking you and you becoming broken. That's a totally different thing. Let's address some more.
Can I address something for a moment?
Go for it.
God never requires for you to give him something that he know you don't have.
Hello.
He never requires for you to give him something that he know that you don't have, because he is still all knowing.
Right.
I think it's the pressure of the people that can put you in that position where you feel like, well, I should respond to a request. I mean, think about it. If everybody get up and give and you're the only one sitting down, who's the one that's going to look bad? Yep. Now the devil start talking to your mind. Well, let me give. But what if that was little Johnny's lunch money?
Yeah.
What if that was your rent?
Right.
What if that was your light bill?
Right.
Now, should you go back to that same visiting pastor or that same local pastor and say, hey, pastor, you know that dollar you asked for? I gave because I felt bad sitting in the seat, but my lights are off. His response shouldn't be, well, let me go check with the secretary and see if we can get it back and see if you actually gave it. See, you get what I'm saying? But right. If you would not have been moved by your emotions, you can stand 10 toes down and say, you know what? I don't care who doing what. God is not leading me to give.
Hello. And I think you've hit upon something. That's why you also need a real church home. And that's why I don't believe in this rogue Christianity. Or I don't have a pastor. Because if you're really tithing and giving like that, when life happens to you, you should be able to go to the ministry, because as the old saints used to say, my record will be there. I'm not saying a church can, you know, catch you up on your mortgage, but if they can make a payment, I mean, depending on how big that thing is, they can assist. That's not a stretch for the right. Ministry.
When the world shut down, that was a perfect example of what we doing with our money. Mm-hmm. People lost jobs. That's tongue talkers, pew walkers, long skirt wearing, no makeup having on folk.
Yeah.
Now, when they went back to the church, come on now, what were we supposed to do? I mean, because the funds is no longer coming in the pan because we all in behind the virtual cameras.
Right.
But if the money keep going, where is the money? I need some help. I'm not asking you. And to be honest with you, as a pastor, you not only teach your people to give to the body of Christ, you teach them how to live in life so they won't have to come depend on somebody else. As a pastor, I shouldn't just be having you jumping and shouting. There should be strategies and little gems that you're picking up that God has given me to give to you so right. that you'll be able to function in the earth, not just in church.
Hello. I absolutely agree. Let's get this question. So where does the bishop fall in line within the liturgical order? Pastor, if you take the stab on this, and I'll save my thoughts for the end.
Uh-oh. Well, the bishop is not a fivefold. The bishop is a desired and ministry gift
right.
to the body of Christ. That's it. That's all.
No, he said that's it. That's all. He's all right. So Let me add some color to that. It's not a title that you see in the Old Testament. It's not a title that John references. He references the elder, the presbyter, or the leader. It is a Pauline title. This is where I'm getting a little fuzzy on. Paul's vision of organizational structure, I'm not saying the Lord didn't use them. The Lord did. And I will never argue against the canon, but I will poke holes at it from time to time. I believe that the bishop is a title that he created, and I mean Paul, not he as in Elohim. I mean Paul himself. Mm-hmm. To set up proper governance. So therefore, somebody like, because I think he believed, and this is a tradition we have carried, after the original 11, or really 10, because 11 was a replacement, would go off the scene, right, or the 11, right, because 12, Judas. So the 11 would go off the scene, the exact, or including himself, so the plus one, even when somebody else would occupy these other seats and offices, they wouldn't demand the same level of respect because there's like a time gap, right? This is my feeling. This is not Bible. I believe that God gave him the wisdom to say, I need to create a leader that could represent a region. And this regional leader would report back to the council, right? Because really the Old and the New Testament church are not supposed to be that different. It's supposed to be one. It's supposed to be an interlocking covenant, right? So to me, the bishopric, as it is not part of the fivefold, it is a office of authority and governance that Paul himself created.
You captured that well. It is a administrative gift, and it is a desire. I desire to be a bishop. It's a wonderful office. I do.
Yeah.
Because it gives you the ability to administer prudently over a particular region, over the particular territory. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. And you do notice that when Judas the betrayer, they moved with who's going to replace the what? Bishopric. And they went through the form of what we consider to be an election. And we find out that that next chosen disciple was now part of the team. Yes, sir.
That's true. Look, we're going to hit a button. You know, this is February and this is Black History Month, but it's also the love month. So I'm going to throw this in there because I think, A, I want to get a little messy, but B, I want to tackle this because the church, I think, is going to really have to answer questions. And you can't preach everything out. You cannot preach everything out. It's a shame if you shout on certain subjects. So we're going to go there after a quick break from our sponsors. Flexing.
Shoulders and back workout, that's a wrap. 2 hours in, Superpower works the whole way through. Keep you going. Lock in, man. Good choice. Superpower.
Yo, shout out to my trainer, Malcolm Bryson. Awesome, amazing trainer. Hit him up, quality remodeler on the gram. You know, he agrees. Superpower is the best pre-workout out there. Who cares about Zoa? I don't care about The Rock and his brand. GNC and all that goofy stuff. You need to get. If you love Jesus, you're going to buy Superpower. I declare, if you really got the Holy Ghost, if you speak in real tongues, you're going to get this Superpower. And if you don't, I'm going to question your Holy Ghost. www.cbmkglobal.store. Use code CBMK24 for 24% off. Yeah. All right. So as the comment section is blowing up, I got to get to this. I'm ready. Peace and blessings. Maranatha, stop. Okay. I was watching a podcast.
Okay.
As I do often, because I believe if you want to be the best, you have to be the best. Right? Ric Flair said, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Beat the man.
Right. That's a Ric Flair And there are a lot of great content creators. There's a lot of good podcasts out there. I was watching Harley Initiated. They've had on Jamal Bryant. They've had on Umar Johnson. And I love Dr. Umar Johnson. I don't think he should be speaking for the church because, A, he's not a believer. I mean, that's disingenuous. But somehow he feels like he has authority, too. Dr. Umar Johnson, not calling you out, but I am addressing it. He says that we should consider polygamy because it's the only way that basically, you know, black people would, you can ensure because we have more black women than black men, black women's chances of being married are extremely low, particularly if they're educated. Only way to eradicate this is through the activity of polygamy. Obviously, as a Christian church, we don't stand for polygamy, but this is why we got to go word. The Bible never says, it's a sin. The Bible never says it's wrong. Matter of fact, David was a polygamist. I know I'm in the word. Matter of fact, Jacob was a polygamist. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpha, four, right? Not saying anything, just you know, throwing some things out, some things that start, you know, taking notice. And his argument is because marriage is contractual anyway, and it's about covenant, it's about purpose, it's not a thing of love or any type of sexual desire. It's really a thing of vision and purpose accomplishment, which he isn't totally wrong. Because Adam never said, I love you to Eve. You never even read it. Never even read the words. He echoed it. Anyway, in Genesis at all, that he actually loved Eve. Just said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know, that should be called woman. I wonder if somebody comes to you, Prophet Pastor Lowney Davis, and says, hey, look, I have a wife. This is my second wife. I would like to marry, Tasha. Let's just say her name, Tasha. First wife's name is Mary. Second wife's name is Tasha. I want to marry Tasha because Mary can't have kids. Tasha can. I can take care of both, put them in separate houses. What do you say as the man of God?
Yeah, let's go back to seeing if prophecy is real. Oh, actually, man of God. Again, that goes back to culture. I do believe that let every man have his own wife, meaning one. Let every woman have her own husband. Yeah. I'm glad that you preferenced that well about Dr. Johnson. I particularly like listening to him well, but he's not one of us. So I can't trust somebody that's not one of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't have a girlfriend and a wife because that's adultery.
Right.
And the Bible said that God will judge the adulterer. Okay. And a real woman and a real man is not going to allow you to have divided loyalties. Either you want me and me only, or it's none of me at all. So as a believer, we must understand that God honors marriage between man and woman, one and one, not one and some. And it's true that David had a man's problem. Solomon had a woman's problem.
Yeah.
So certain things, if you know that that's your proclivity, I think you need to put it on the altar so that you won't allow your desires to cause you to move you away from our biblical standards. One in one.
Not that there's a perfect answer. Matter of fact, man began to really mess up. The Bible says in Tubal-Cain, and he had two wives, and he's the son or grandson of Cain, and you know, obviously that spurs a whole new generation of just wickedness and error. Because and what his claim to fame or what the scripture points out is that he had and he took two wives, right? And I think that's the problem. It's that. What is good strategy, or what we call holiness, is not to make us ignorant, but it is to protect us from ourselves. Because personally, I don't think God is petty, but I do think he understands how fragile his children are. And we like to play with fire too much, right? And, you know, you keep touching that stove, you're going to end up getting burned. And it's never worked out. I mean, scripturally, multiple-wise, it's always just a terrible baby mama drama. You know, Abraham is the father, baby daddies, and it totally messes up everything for everyone. So, you know, I don't think it's... And to answer your question, Larry Tavron, yes, this is real content. Sorry, yes. Copy not being funny, just asking. Yes, I'm being funny and being serious. This is real content.
Apostle Tavron is—he's a good guy. He's a good friend of mine, and this is good for me. Let me—I'm gonna say this because a lot of people see when I do come along. You watch my content; it's more on the spiritual base, so I can understand why his question can have some legitimacy to it. Yeah. But it's Apostle content. Cody's a good guy. He's a good guy. Both of you all. I want y'all to meet. Matter of fact, he'll be a good guest. He will.
Thank you, sir. And I don't, just because I don't always tune up, don't mean I'm not spiritual. You'd be surprised. I'm a very spiritual guy. I'm just not churchy.
Right.
That's just the difference. But I love the Lord. Pastor Hoosier says the Bible definitely says that a man should live his own wife. I would argue that monogamy is a biblical principle. I'd also argue that men in the Old Testament adopted to the surrounding cultures. There was always a conflict with men of God and polygamy. And I do agree with that. I think that our adaptations have always been the death of us because we don't stick to the script. And by not, God will give us grace. But grace doesn't mean things are going to work out the way you plan. Grace allows a salvation or a soteriological end to come about, right? But the process to that is going to look terrible. Stick to your wife. I think that's a good one. Stick to your wife. That should be a word and a song. Prophet Pastor David, I appreciate you. I got one more question. And you know, I'll let you go after this. We are in a very interesting time. The world has changed, is changing, will change. And the economic shifting, I feel like, is so prevalent and it's the elephant in the room, but we're the only demographic that chooses to ignore it. Projected net income for Black households by 2050, next 25 years, is zero. Zero. I've been dealing with that in my mind because I said in 25 years, I'll be my parents' age, which if the history of the Church of God in Christ continues, by then I will be in some type of capacity of leadership just by sheer, you know, tradition. Let's say that. Even if it doesn't happen, I don't really care. That doesn't keep me up at night, honestly. But if we inherit an organization that has zero, have we led the sheep to the slaughter? And this is my question. And I know that was loaded, so I apologize.
It's okay.
You said strategy earlier. You have to give the people of God strategy so that they can get past this and they're not relying upon anything but God. Mm-hmm. What should the message be? Because I don't think we realize we're heading off a cliff, right? Mm-hmm. How should the body be prepared for the strategic shift? And I'll let you flow. Whatever the Lord gives you, you got the next 5 minutes. Floor is yours.
Well, I think in the interest of fairness, first of all, let's do this. Let's allow God to speak to us to who should be giving us strategies and who could be leading us path just all the jump, to shout, to hoop and holler in the church. I believe that God is raising up men and women of God that can be trusted in the earth that will cause us to have that Joseph's anointing. See, Joseph had something on him that the nation was reserved because the download that God gave him. And God is raising up men and women of God that's going to be able to communicate that out there. And he's doing it in a rather unique way. Let me say this. The church is the only institution I know that be the last to do things that's innovative, to keep our cutting edge. The church is the only institution that I know that kill the wounded, not because we're trying to end their suffering, but we kill the wounded because we don't know how to help them to transition through their process to be healed. And unfortunately, because we have adjusted ourselves so much to just church, it have become one and done. But the revelation of God and the mysteries out of the principles out of the Holy Scripture is enough for us to be like Joseph, to be able to be speak to a people that's locked and fenced in. And I must say this. That's why you need trusted vessels in the earth, such as the prophets. The Bible said that he would do no thing. Let me say it faster. He would do nothing in the earth unless he revealed it to the prophets first. So he gives it to the prophets, not only for me to get a response from you behind the pews, because we talked about this. The prophets had access to the kings. It was the prophets that anointed the kings to lead the nations. But where we move from now is we have catered so much to the applause of the people that we have moved away and now have developed the dull hearing to accept the approval of God. Because, see, me, I must say this, and I'm not being arrogant, trying to be cocky, but I'm glad that he has made me to be totally dependent upon him. So I can say what thus says the Lord, and I don't have to compromise my convictions. I don't have to change my message for your money, your dollar, or your following, your like, love, share, of commenting. And I'm glad that he's raising up bold soldiers that will show the people of the Lord that if you would obey my voice and listen to the chosen vessels in the earth, because everybody can't have your, the Bible speaks to us that Samuel, his ear was basically trained to hear the voice that had authority over him, which was Eli. And Eli was crooked as a roach leg. But it was his voice that he leaned into. And God is raising up voices. And I believe this to be true. He's using voices and vehicles like this to go ye into all the world. I am not going to shake a million hands. But with these social media devices, I have an opportunity to introduce myself to them so that they can be introduced properly to Christ. We have to wake up and realize that God have people in the earth that's not only going to get a response for us from behind the pews. There's some things, there's some Josephs that's out here that's going to preserve a nation. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 45, the Bible speaks of Cyprus. Cyprus didn't have godly character. He wasn't holy. He wasn't church of God in Christ, but God used him for the very purpose so that the nations will be able to see gates of brass broken down, bars cut in sunders of iron. And the Bible says in Isaiah 45 and 3, if I'm not mistaken, to give them the hidden treasures of darkness. That came from the prophetic. So when there is an absence of the prophetic, that means that we can't see the unlocking and the fullness of God. But we must move past culture. We must move past what we've been taught, because some of us only been taught that 1 + 1, that 2 + 2 = 4. But we never was introduced that 3 + 1 = 4. And God is raising up people, not pushing back. You know, we talked about this, just because we have a difference of opinions, that doesn't mean we become opposition. It's okay for you to say, Lord, move me to a place that I might be uncomfortable with, but yet keep me in compliance with kingdom policy and procedure. I think that was pretty good. Let me say that again. Lord, move me from just being comfortable, but keep me where I'll be completely in compliance with kingdom principle and kingdom policies, procedures and policies. The New Testament church speaks of this. Jesus is the only prophet I know that spoke his death. And well, let me take this back. Paul wasn't not only noted as the prophet, he prophesied a great deal, but Jesus prophesied his death. Paul said, this belt, I got to go deal with some things. So we got to move to the place where God opened us up to receive new learnings and new teachings. And I believe God will get greater glory when we yield to what he want to do. It's going to be different. I got to say, Brother Cody, they ain't coming there looking like we came in. No. They got piercings. Yeah. They got tattoos. Yes. Come on. They got tattered clothes. I'm going to say something to you. They same gender loving.
Yes, they are.
Because I'm going to tell you something. This generation, and I'm going to say this, 10 toes down. This generation don't want church. But preach. This generation do want God.
Preach.
This generation don't want church. But this generation do want God. And maybe they seen something from our grandfathers and grandmothers that make them say, I don't want church.
Yeah.
But they do say, I want God, because I know they had power with God. Back into your hands. I feel good now.
I know I can give it to you. I was like, I'm going to give them five. I was like, I'm a little avid.
I'm sorry. I messed up.
No, I enjoyed every minute. You were absolutely right. Thank you for allowing God to use you. And, you know, let me humble myself. Reverend Larry, my bad. I didn't fast today. I felt the Catholic in me. My father's side is Catholic, and I felt that spirit in me come up, and I was gonna check everything. You gotta say, I had two grandmas. One that was sanctified, that wouldn't hurt a fly, and another one that wasn't sanctified, and that other one that other one rubbed off on me just as well. You know, so no, absolutely correct. What we have to understand, and what the church is going to have to accept, is that a true Moses does not look like them. Yes, I'm born from your oak, but I was raised in Egyptian. My thoughts are Egyptian. I knew the code of Hammurabi before I knew who Yahweh was. And because I knew the code of Hammurabi, when God gave me the Decalogue and I saw the similarities, I was able to give you back, because I already knew this part of it. They could, not being of the elk of Israel, but others could accept it as well. When we break the mold of church, I don't have to look like you. I don't want the sack. I don't want the sack it and the
sock and, yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah.
But I do want your God, and I want his ways. And if you can accept that, how it is going to differ is going to differ, but it's not going to be different. That's the difference. It's going to differ because God is diverse, but it's not going to be divorced from anything. His word is true, and we're interwoven in this. Prophet Davis, I appreciate you, man of God. I love you. As I said before, I don't vibe with everybody. Everybody I've had on here is because I actually trust them, and I rock with them in some way, state, you know, for... And I totally believe in what you're doing. I see the hard work and the effort and the investment that you put in. And it has been an honor to have you on the show. I got to cut to a break. When we get back, we give our sign-offs after this quick break.
Hey, what's up? It's CVMK33. Look, I want you to subscribe, hit the notification bell, subscribe here, everywhere, so you can get the latest and greatest of this podcast content. Stay tuned.
All right, Prophet Pastor Lonnie Davis, where can the people support you, man? How do they reach out to you and connect with you?
Thank you again. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you, Brother Cody. I really do. And the people can meet me, reach out to me at Facebook. The correct spelling for my name is there, is LONNEY. They can go to IG underscore Lonnie underscore Davis. They can follow me on YouTube, Lonnie Davis. They can go to X and follow me. And then if they want to come into the brick and the mortar space, if they feel like something was said or shared that may have piqued their curiosity, they can come along and meet me at 8459 South Racine at our Southside campus at 8:00 Central Standard Time every other Sunday, which is first and third. You also can visit the beautiful website at LonnieDavis.com. You know me like you know me, if you know some people like you know me, just pick up the phone like we used to do old school and say, hey, can I holler at you for a second or two? Bless you, Brother Cody.
Oh, no problem. Y'all reach out to him, connect with him. He's the real deal. And I'm not just saying that because he's on my show. It's because I have witnessed his development, his character, his anointing, but most importantly, his commitment. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to do this, you better do it right. Right? Y'all, Instagram, CVMK_global, where we go down. I'm telling you, we're going to cross 100,000 followers by my birthday. We're already at 71,000. That's not out of the reach. I want y'all to follow, like, share, hit the comment button. YouTube, CVMK, one word, four letters. We're at 12.5. We're going to get to 13,000, I guarantee you, by April. I need you to help me get there, y'all. We can do this. First of all, you can't complain about the world. You can't complain about the Grammys, who didn't get it, if you don't support the content creators that are actually creating the platform that have your values in mind. And you can't say, well, all this mess on TV and I'm not, but you don't support and you don't subscribe. When you support, it gets easier. And it's free. I'm not even asking for an offering. I'm asking you just to click a button. YouTube, Stephen K. It is what it is underscore. It is what it is underscore show. Stephen K. 33. And the best supplements. Guys, I want you to get it today. I'm going to do you a favor, guys. We got Valentine's Day coming up. We just talked about it. Husband to his wife. Let every man avoid fornication. Let every man have his wife and every woman her husband. Right? Her husband. You still a man. And you don't want to come up short at the wrong times. I developed a product just for you. It's called Batter Up, because you want to be a King David in the bedroom. With all his flaws, a woman never complained. You don't want to be. Because women going to talk. And don't think because she's sanctified, she ain't going to talk. She will call her state supervisor and ask her state supervisor to pray over her husband because her husband can't get it up. And breast oil and lint ain't going to help you get it up. I developed Batter Up just for you. You know who you are. Women, you want to be a Proverbs 31 wife? It comes with some things. Hey, speaking in tongues ain't gonna always do it. There's another tongue you got to use. But if you want to keep being a Proverbs 31, I developed Glow Up for you. www.cvmkglobal.store. And until next time, guys, thanks.
If you think exercise alone got me looking like this, well, think again. CVMK Global Super Thick got me right. I'm obsessed, and yeah, I won't stop talking about it because it helped me grow in all the right places. Its creatine provides a fast and reliable way to increase your power, size, and shape, and it's scientifically proven to help you reach your physical goals in a safe, controlled manner. So if you want to increase muscle size, pump, and thickness in your muscle groups, you need Super Thick.